Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I am here frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. It's time for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. Pay no attention to the intro theme song. We got a different phone number. Our phone number now is 650-LEGAL-MJ. 650-534-2565. I still don't have it memorized. I have to look down at my little post-it note. 650-534-2565. That's 650-LEGAL-MJ. All sorts of things happening here in Radical Russ world. I've been confirmed. I got the pay. I got the check already. I have been confirmed for a presentation, supposedly a Alma debate, on Wednesday, October 5th at 11 a.m. Pacific time at the steps of the California State House. So far, it appears to be myself and Dale Schaefer, the attorney who was imprisoned 5 years for his medical marijuana operation, against supposedly Letitia Pepper and Kevin Saunders debating on this. So it's stoners against legalization against me and Dale coming up on Wednesday, October 5th. We'll stream it live. We'll see if we can stream it live. It's outdoors, and I'll be dependent on the cell towers, but we will try to stream it live for you. And I've already gotten some concern from some high-ranking people that aren't too happy about the fact that this is going on at all, and number two, that I'd be a part of it. But you know me, folks. I will debate anyone, anytime, anywhere on the issue of marijuana legalization, and that includes people who are against it because they don't think it's good enough. And I think this is something that needs to be talked about because I want to see as big a win for marijuana legalization as possible. I want huge numbers, the kind of numbers that dissuade the prohibitionists from thinking that legalization isn't inevitable, that convince them that they need to get on the bandwagon for reform rather than continuing to oppose something that is going to happen. So that's Wednesday, October 5th. We'll bring you more details as I know them. And also, coming up in this hour, we've got more on the Massachusetts Question 4 with one of the leading proponents, Dick Evans from the Yes on 4 campaign, joined us at the Boston Freedom Rally. And we got a quick aside with Mike Connolly, who's going to be a new state rep there in Massachusetts, who was very pro Question 4. We've also got Mike Cann and Mike Connolly on the stage, and Chris Goldstein in his return from federal probation to his first freedom rally in what, 3 years, 2 years, something like that. And we'll also have time for a radical rant. I'm going to go off on this Terrence Crutcher case, this latest shooting on video of an unarmed black man with his hands up, shot and killed by a deputy, while there was three other deputies there as well. All caught on two different video angles, one from a helicopter, one from a dash cam, and we're going to talk a little bit about how this is tied into the war on drugs and how it's inevitably tied into the war on drugs. That's all coming up here in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. Plus, we'll take your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ if you've got comments or questions about the wide world of weed. We're here to answer them for you. Oh my goodness, we're getting ready for the marijuana election night. The hashtag is registered, MJ Election Night. Hashtag MJ Election Night. Follow that to the latest breaking returns and our coverage Tuesday, November 8th, live from Los Angeles, California. Looks like we'll be tied in with a few of the TV stations as well. Oh my God, I'm getting nervous about this. Hang tight. We're back with Dick Evans on question four.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, Lady Marijuana Llama, tell you something now. Bought a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seed, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Paul's doing good work.
It's Mike Gregor Poontang, if I can use a medical term.
Yes. The New England Medical Journal.
Oh, my God.
That's right. You can call me Dr. St. Paul now.
Dr. St. Paul.
I don't think I will.
No. you wouldn't even qualify to be a vet.
I'm a special kind of vet. I make them less lonely.
The Stoner Jesus Show. Live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Each year on my birthday, every American gets a cupcake.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Marijuana legalization is a worldwide phenomenon. Get yourself positioned for the global cannabis marketplace by attending the International Cannabis Business Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You'll learn from established cannabis professionals, elected officials, and internationally recognized marijuana law reform activists. You'll also enjoy the ICBC's famous VIP party featuring ICBC special guest speaker and Canadian native Tommy Chong. The ICBC is happening in Vancouver on Thursday and Friday, October 13th and 14th at the Hyatt Regency. Log on to internationalcbc.com today to reserve your tickets. That's internationalcbc.com, and bookmark our page for the next ICBCs taking place in Berlin, Germany and San Francisco, California. Don't miss the International Cannabis Business Conference, internationalcbc.com.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. It's so good to be back here in Portland. I got to tell you, every time I go to the East Coast, I forget that they have smaller personal space bubbles. Man, they'll get right up next to you and talk to you. It's like, whoa, hey, hello. Had a good time. I got a Charlie card now to add to my Metro Transit card collection. That's a nice thing. We also got to run into Dick Evans from the Yes on Question 4 campaign there in Massachusetts. They're trying to legalize marijuana. And while we were speaking to Dick, we also got to speak to a soon-to-be newly elected state representative. So enjoy this from Boston. Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here at the 27th annual Boston Freedom Rally on the Boston Common. We are here supporting question four in Massachusetts, the legalization of marijuana. And joining us here from the Yes on 4 campaign, we've got none other than Dick Evans. Dick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Russ. Welcome to Massachusetts and welcome to your listeners.
Yes, it's great to be back here. It's a beautiful sunny day. And we're kind of going for the hat trick here. 2008, Massachusetts got decrim. 2012, got medical. Working on legal here for 2016. How's the state of affairs here in Massachusetts? Look like a pass here?
We've come a long way, but it's not a slam dunk by any means. The hard work that's been done by activists and organizers over many decades, I think, is starting to pay off. As you pointed out, we were the voters of Massachusetts, like the voters of many other states, totally exacerbated over the refusal of the legislature to move on this issue over decades. Finally, took it in within their own hands in 2008 here in Massachusetts, of course, in 2000 in Colorado. And that's why they call it an initiative. The voters of Massachusetts in 2008 took the initiative to enact the decrim law by a vote of 68%, which was remarkable. Unfortunately, the legislature didn't seem to notice, and they ducked the issue. I always like to say that I know what every politician wants when it comes to marijuana, and that is to change the subject. Well, it happened again in 2012. Again, exasperated by the failure of the government to act, by the abdication, you might say, of the policymakers to make policy, the voters took it up and enacted a medical marijuana law in 2012. Again, passed by a vote of 65%. Did the legislature take note of that vote? Apparently not. Can I tell you a funny story?
Sure, sure.
A couple of days after that election, I was in the green room of a TV station in Springfield. And also in the room was a state rep and a state senator. They were there for something else. But we were chatting, and I asked each of them, I said, how did the medical marijuana initiative do in your district? And you know what they told me? Each of them said, you know, that's a good question. I should probably know.
Oh. Had no idea.
I was appalled.
Yeah.
It's just blown away. The fact that these are politicians, they had not bothered to read the election returns in their own district. And I thought about it for a long time, and I was telling that story to somebody, and my friend said, well, why should they bother? And he was right, the point being that for decades, conventional political wisdom means you don't, not only do you not talk about marijuana, not only do you not entertain the word in your vocabulary, but you don't even educate yourself about it. It's what you might call mandated ignorance. That's part of conventional wisdom, because conventional wisdom of marijuana is the third rail rule, of course, that if you talk seriously and maturely and like a grown-up about this topic, then you'll be deemed soft on drugs in the next election and you'll lose. And that may have been valid for a long time, but it ain't anymore, frankly. And I defy anybody to tell me, I've been asking this question, how many politicians do you know who have lost an election because they supported marijuana law reform? I don't know any, and you heard the fellow that just spoke on the stage here, Mike Connolly, a remarkable accomplishment. Echoing, by the way, what Congressman O'Rourke did in Texas about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, getting back to Massachusetts. In 2008, when the voters took the initiative to enact decrim, there wasn't much opposition, sort of token opposition by the law enforcement types. And in 2012, medical, again, you know, the medical establishment opposed it, but it didn't matter. Now, this is 2016. Things are different this year. We've got serious organized opposition led by the governor and the attorney general and the mayor of Boston, Mayor Walsh. And they've put together an organization, and they are very diligently doing what campaigns need to do to win or defeat a measure on the ballot. They have gained endorsements from the medical establishment, certainly from the law enforcement establishment, from the conventional establishment, basically. And they've raised a lot of money, not surprisingly. Some of their money comes from big alcohol.
Sure.
Yeah. And they've trumpeted the support that they've gained. This is the, we're talking about the support to defeat the legalization right. initiative here. They've trumpeted that support from CEOs of big healthcare organizations. And we recently had a something happen here in Massachusetts, which I think is in the campaign, which is really interesting, and it's a very serious thing. If there's any public health crisis facing us today, it certainly isn't marijuana. It's the opioid overdose crisis. And the fact is that there is an emerging body of science, as well as a huge emerging body of anecdotal evidence, that medical marijuana can be a useful tool in the fight against opioid dependence. Now, anybody can read the research, if you know, it's not hard to find.
Right.
So I'm not saying that medical marijuana is the a panacea or the solution to the medical opioid overdose epidemic, but I'm saying that it's hard to understand how public officials could turn their back on the prospect that this could be a very useful tool in this really, really important and timely struggle. And you know, after medical marijuana was passed in 2012, one of the first things the Department of Public Health did, they're the agency that was tasked with implementing the law, they went around the state holding listening sessions and invited anybody to come and, you know, sit and talk for 3 minutes. And I went to several of them, and I was blown away at how many citizens came in and talked about their use of medical marijuana, or I should say their use of marijuana medically, yeah. for...
Sure. Howdy. Hi, Representative. Nice to see you, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey.
Watch your headphones. We're taking a quick break here with Dick Evans. He's got the representative, newly elected representative, walking by. Maybe I can get a quick say. Hi, Russ Bellow from Cannabis Radio. Just wanted to congratulate you on your win.
Oh, thank you so much.
And what was it like trying to run against somebody in this race when marijuana became such an issue?
You know, I think there were a lot of issues. This was one of them. And it was a real vigorous campaign. You
yeah.
know?
Is this your first time in politics, trying to get involved?
No, I ran for city council last year in Cambridge and came pretty close.
Yeah.
And so decided to run for many of the same reasons.
Well, real quick so our audience knows, give them your name and your district and how they can get in touch.
Sure,
with you.
Thank you. My name is Mike Connolly. I'm a Democrat. I just won the primary in the 26th Middlesex District, which is Cambridge and Somerville. And I'll be the only name on the ballot in November.
Fantastic. Glad to hear it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm here today to say yes on question four.
Right on.
Certainly, you know, I think it's time that we move away from the war on drugs and have a sensible drug policy, and especially it's time to focus even more on treating those who are suffering with the heroin and opioid epidemic right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So glad to have you there in the legislature, sticking up for truth and justice and passing legalization. That's great news.
Absolutely.
Good luck in your career, and thank you so much for giving us a little bit
thank
of time.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a busy day.
Have a great day. Take care.
Russ, it's great of you to come to Boston. Great of you to give us this opportunity to reach out to the people of Massachusetts
yeah.
and urge your support for this initiative. It's absolutely incredible that they register to vote, that they encourage everybody they know, everybody to vote, because the opposition this year makes a big difference. Go Google Yes on 4. Google Initiative Massachusetts Marijuana 2016. Easy to find. Go to the campaign's website. Sign up. Contribute some money. Put your name on the list. Get a bumper sticker. Get a yard sign. Do what you can. Don't let this opportunity don't go by. And don't wake up on the morning of November 9th. This is my nightmare scenario. So I wake up on the morning of November 9th after the election, and we fail, and I ask myself, what could I have done that I didn't? I don't want that to happen.
I've lived that nightmare in Oregon 2012 when Washington and Colorado were passing and Oregon was failing. So I know how that could feel.
Oh, it must have been hard.
It's not good. But we fixed it 2 years after.
me Rocky.
All right, it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. That means we've got to take our union-mandated safety break. When we return, we've got more from the Boston Freedom Rally. Mike Cann, Mike Connolly, and the return of Chris Goldstein from federal probation. Plus, stay tuned. In the next segment after that, we got our radical rant on the Terrence Crutcher case in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we're back and we're feeling much safer. Good to be back from Boston. I like visiting Boston, but sometimes the humidity gets to me. The whole East Coast, just, I get past the Rocky Mountains and humidity just kicks my ass. So it's not just Boston. It's the same. I make the same complaint in Texas or Georgia or wherever else I'm going. But it's good to see all the regular Canna fam, the East Coast Canna fam out there. Kara, she's got a baby on the way and still made her way up to the stage to speak. We'll have that speech coming up later in the week. Kara Crab Burnham. And others, we have other activists that we'll hear from as well that spoke at the Boston Freedom Rally. And if you're fans of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, you can tune in this Friday and you'll get to hear my interview with Dave Tree, the legendary punk rocker out of Boston, Massachusetts. You may know him from his hit song, God Grows Grass. And we'll play that at Herb's show this Friday on 420radio.org. That's the music station here on CannabisRadio.com. We're the talk station. If you like the music, if you want to hear weed-related rock and metal, you can catch it on 420radio.org. Boston Freedom Rally was a big success. It was as packed as I can ever remember it being. I think this is the sixth time I've been, maybe the fifth. And it was just packed. Sunday, of course, the headliners on the main stage were Method Man and Redman. So the place was just jumping and just packed to the gills with people. I had a media pass, so I got to be in that little pit between the crowd and the stage, and that was a lot of fun. Some of my pictures up on my Instagram feed at Radical Russ, you can check out just how large that crowd was. It was an amazing show. Not exactly my musical cup of tea, Method and Red. They're fine as far as, you know, hip-hop artists go. But not, you know, in my pantheon of hip-hop artists that, you know, includes Tupac and, you know, Digital Underground and Public Enemy. And I guess I'm a little old school, I guess, showing my age. But it was a good show. Great show. There was a lot of great bands there. There was one called The House on Cliff, kind of a funky hard rock band. I really liked them. There was a rapper named Alyssa Marie, who was great. She was a great rapper and had a live band backing her. So I really appreciated that. You know, great kind of rock rap feel that she had going on. A lot of great speakers as well, and just booths everywhere, everywhere, just glass vendors and t-shirt vendors and just everybody hawking everything, all sorts of carnival food as well. And hopefully it's the last Boston Freedom Rally that will occur under Prohibition. And if you want to read more about it, you can go to my Radical Rant column. It's up now at hightimes.com in the culture section every Tuesday and Friday. And I reminisce a little bit more about the Boston Freedom Rally and how there was a lack of stoners against legalization there. Find out why at hightimes.com in the Radical Rant column. All right, more highlights from Boston Freedom Rally. Mike Crawford from the Young Jerks on the radio there in Boston is a huge activist. He introduced the new representative, Mike Connolly, and our friend Chris Goldstein, who has returned from federal probation where he missed Freedom Rally for 2 years.
Some of you remember it. We used to... No glass was sold. There was none of this that's going on today was going on. They would take, the Boston police would come in and take glass. There would be undercovers throughout the event. Since that time, 2008, we passed Decrim. 2012, we passed medical marijuana. Yeah, let's hear it for Boston on that. It just didn't win either. It won big. 2 votes to 1. There's 2 of us for every one of them. And we didn't realize for so long, we thought we were the minority, and we realized that, what are we? We're the majority. That's right. And that's what we're seeing here today. That's why I'm so humbled. My name is Mike Crawford. I'm also known as Mike Cann. I've been doing activism, politics for years in Boston related to marijuana reform. Working with Mass Cann, started with them. We did some freedom rallies where we booked Onyx, Styles P. Were you here for those? Yeah, that was amazing. Me and Styles smoked right over there. That happened because of this event, because I was in the audience like you guys were at one point, and I liked it so much, I decided to walk down and talk to some people and get involved. And that's what we're hoping you do today. Get registered to vote. Students for Drug Policy is out. There's a booth. You can sign up to vote if you're not in Massachusetts. Go register to vote. Get involved in MassCan, get involved in all these organizations, get involved in what that person's walking over there. Yes on 4. We want to legalize marijuana. Yes, that's what the goal is today. Massachusetts, 2016. My brother, the king of pot, Michael Malta, rest in peace. Yeah, you guys know KOP, the king of pot. He was here for years. He passed away in 2009. We had a goal to legalize marijuana in 2016. I'm asking you to get involved and help us. Help me at the Young Jerks every week on my radio show. Call in WEMF Radio. Check out our writing. Spread it around. Join MassCan. Invite your friends to MassCan. Join MassCan. Yeah. Support the patients in Massachusetts for medical marijuana. Mass Patients Advocacy Alliance. Yeah. Let's hear it for them. They've been fighting. Those guys over there at the State House, they haven't been helping, but you know who they can't deny? The patients of Massachusetts. So let's hear it for Mass Patients Advocacy Alliance. And guys like Dick Evans, I've been around a long time. He's been around even longer. Let's hear it for him. Epstein, Bill Downing, Lester Grinspoon, Rick Cusick, High Times. These are legendary groups. I'm proud to be associated with them and working with these guys in this movement. I want to bring over someone. This is going to be big, guys. Everyone, move up. We got Brett, you got some t-shirts? Who wants a t-shirt? Yeah, we're going to throw out some t-shirts. Greenleaf Magazine, they got my stories. Check out them. Dig Boston, Alternate, High Times. All right, we just won something big this last week.
Hey, 2 o'clock, come back.
We had a primary election, and the incumbent, Tim Toomey, said, cannabis leads to opiates.
Nice.
Cannabis leads to opiates. What do you think about that statement from Rep. Tim Toomey?
That's a joke.
Yeah. Is that a joke? But the guy running against him in the Democratic state primary for state rep, as a friend of mine, came on my show, The Young Jerk, several times. He guest co-hosted. He helped us organize the medical marijuana patients and the lobbying of the city council that he knew in Cambridge to help us get a dispensary. He campaigned on legalization. And you know what happened in the election? What they said would never happen against an incumbent, against Rep. Tim Toomey, who's been there forever. Before I started, he's been there. I've been going up to Tim Toomey's office year after year after year, asking him to support Decrim, to asking him to support medical, to ask him to support legal. Never yes. He came on with medical after the fact, but he was never that vocal after we won medical. The guy we're coming up right now ran and won against that. He won by over 400 votes. I'm saying he won by 420 votes. Check him out. His name is Mike Conley, state rep elect. Mike Conley, let's hear it for him.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you all for being here. I just want to say yes on question four. Yeah. Register to vote. You know, there are so many reasons why we need to pass question four. Two of them that are first and foremost in my mind. First of all, there are racial disparities that persist to today in terms of the arrests for marijuana here in Massachusetts. So we need to pass question four to end the war on drugs. Yeah, give it up for that. A second issue that's so important to so many of us is treating and supporting those who are struggling with the heroin and the opioid epidemic right now. And continued prohibition of marijuana just gets in the way of that important work. So I'm saying let's vote yes on four so that we can do more to support people who are struggling with addiction. And thank you all for having me, and have a good day. Thanks.
As my friend Chris Goldstein missed the last two Boston Freedom Rallies because he was on federal probation. This guy went 24 months without smoking weed. He did it like a Buddhist monk. I found like four drug tests when I was on federal probation. But Chris is finally back in Boston. Chris, you have anything to say?
Hello, Boston. It's great to be off federal probation and here smoking almost legal marijuana. But I gotta tell you, you guys are awesome. Like, in a few weeks, you're all gonna like vote to legalize pot. Completely legalize weed. It's going to be completely legal up here, but not where I live in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It's going to totally suck. We're going to be looking at you going, fuck, another state did it, but not us. And not the federal government either. So listen, people keep asking me, Chris, when do we know that marijuana is legal? Like really legal, like completely, fully legal. We don't have to work for it anymore. We don't have to fight any of this reform fight anymore. I said, okay, we'll know this when I watch this in Philadelphia. When a black man has a joint in his mouth and he's walking down the street and he sees a black cop in a car also smoking a joint and they both wave at each other, I will know that legalization is finally coming to all of America. But I'm here to tell you folks that until every prisoner gets out of jail, until every record gets expunged, that this fight for legalization isn't quite over yet. So as you guys celebrate victory this November, remember that folks like me with a federal record are still gonna need your help to win victory for the rest of this country, like Kansas and Oklahoma and everybody that's got a federal record. So when we say legalize it, we'll be back next year. It'll be legal here, but we'll still be saying legalize it. So bring 10 of your friends next year. This is the biggest crowd I've ever seen, but the Boston Common should be crowded shoulder to shoulder when marijuana is legal. Thank you, and I'll see you next year. Thank you very much.
Beautiful thing to see my friend Chris Goldstein there at the Boston Freedom Rally. For those of you new to the show, Chris Goldstein is the entire reason I am talking to you right now. He created the Normal Daily Audio Stash podcast in 2006 when most people didn't even know what the hell a podcast was. and certainly before anyone was doing it daily. And he helmed that show for 2 years. I took it over in 2008, and it has evolved to become what you're listening to now, the Russ Belville Show, live on CannabisRadio.com every weekday, covering the wide world of weed. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant on Terrence Crutcher, the latest victim of our drug war-fueled American racism.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
It's time to Hemp Presents.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident Hempo Sapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana!
Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Adrian, I finished it. Adrian.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
This weekend, I was consumed with the Boston Freedom Rally between flying there on a red-eye flight and doing the rally and the after parties and getting back and forth to the Airbnb and the airport. I wasn't following the news. I didn't bring my laptop with me. I didn't watch TV. And my cell phone use was pretty much limited to doing all my outbound social media. So when I was returning on Monday, of course, I had to catch up with the latest news. And it's just so telling. It's so tellingly tragic in this country that when it's the news of a school shooting or an unarmed black man killed by police, you have to take some time to figure out which one. Is this a new case? And certainly this weekend, we've had a new case of yet another unarmed black man. This man named Terrence Crutcher, age 40, who was gunned down by police. This was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where the police were responding to a call about Crutcher's stalled SUV blocking traffic. Can't tell you how many times I've had my car stalled in traffic at night. and I'm not a small person, and never once did I consider that the police showing up might lead to my death. Perhaps my free ride in a cop car for possession, maybe, but never my death. So I had to digest all these reports, and I'm reading and watching the videos, and it's like you don't even have to read the news stories anymore because you can already tell how it's going to unfold. The police report comes out of an uncooperative black suspect who just had to be shot to protect officer safety. Here's a quote from the story that first broke in Tulsa about this case. Quote, "He refused to follow commands given by the officers," Tulsa police spokeswoman Jean McKenzie said. "They continued to talk to him. He continued not to listen and follow any commands. As they got closer to the vehicle, he reached inside the vehicle, and at that time there was a taser deployment, and a short time later there was one shot fired," end quote. And then, of course, those statements are immediately shown to be lies by video evidence showing the unarmed black man with his hands in the air as he's gunned down by one cop with another three cops standing by. The officer Betty Shelby, who shot and killed Terrence Crutcher, said over the police radio, quote, I've shot a subject who won't show me his hands," end quote. But how can Betty Shelby not see what is plainly visible in two videos? And that is Terrence Crutcher showing his hands. Well, simple. According to Shelby's attorney, quote, "Shelby, who has completed drug recognition expert training, believed that Crutcher was acting like a person who might be under the influence of PCP," end quote. Yeah, because, you know, PCP is all the rage in Oklahoma these days. Okay. Now, they also had audio from police in the helicopter who saw a madman on drugs as well. Quote, "Looks like a bad dude, too," said one of the cops to the other cop, who just happened to be David Shelby, Betty Shelby's husband, continuing, quote, "could be on something," end quote. Bad dude. On something. PCP. In the killing of Terrence Crutcher, we can still hear the racist fear-mongering that led to our first prohibitionist drug laws over a century ago. Quote this from the Wikipedia entry. "The drafters of the Harrison Narcotics Tax Act played on fears of," quote, "drug-crazed, sex-mad Negroes," end quote, and made references to Negroes under the influence of drugs murdering whites, degenerate Mexicans smoking marijuana, and, quote, "Chinamen," end quote, seducing white women with drugs. Dr. Hamilton Wright testified at a hearing for the Harrison Act. Wright alleged that drugs made blacks uncontrollable, gave them superhuman powers, and caused them to rebel against white authority. Dr. Christopher Koch of the State Pharmacy Board of Pennsylvania testified that, quote, "most of the attacks upon the white women of the South are the direct result of a cocaine-crazed Negro brain," end quote. Yeah. Still with us today. Looks like a bad dude, too. Could be on something. He's acting like a person who might be under the influence of PCP. And we've heard this same type of imagery from police reports when we first got the word of the Michael Brown killing. How he bulked up against the bullets. He was enraged like the Hulk. Superhuman. Now, I always have to give this disclaimer. that I'm an able-bodied, tall, cisgendered, heterosexual, middle-aged, middle-class, white American male, so I'm just a Bible short of the gold medal in the privileged decathlon. So when I broach these questions, they may be coming from a place of ignorance, born out of my privilege, but take them with the intent they are offered, because I'm certainly just seeking understanding. How much of the police killing of unarmed black men owes to the war on drugs? Is drug prohibition a symptom of systemic racism, a mechanism of maintaining systemic racism, or some combination of both? I mean, certainly systemic racism in America predates the drug war, no question. But can addressing systemic racism proceed without dismantling the drug war? How intertwined are these things? How much does the drug war fuel the racism of our police departments against black people? I mean, my view as a white drug law reformer is admittedly limited, but what I see is a war on drugs that, by its design, is waged largely in poor neighborhoods against black and brown people. Those people that are involved in the trade, by the nature of prohibition, have to band together in gangs. And then they have to arm themselves for disputes. And then this violence inherent in prohibition feeds the preconceived notion of cops that those are bad neighborhoods and those are bad people, and they respond as an occupying force. And you continue this cycle for a few generations, and you get law enforcement and the public at large conditioned to see black men, especially young black men or large black men, as an inherent threat. So much so that when you test cops on this, even black cops have this same bias in the shooting range exercises. But also, as a white drug law reformer, I've seen legalization come to pass in four states now where the remaining marijuana crimes are still disproportionately charged against black and brown people. Sometimes more so now than under prohibition. And I've seen laws and regulations written that deny licenses to those who were caught and convicted in the prohibition market, who, of course, were more likely to be minorities. And I've seen governments in the medical marijuana states hold rigorous licensing procedures that somehow include no minorities, and then write stringent licensing requirements that are unattainable by any black applicant. So, suppose we end the war on drugs tomorrow. All drugs are legally available to adults over 21 nationwide with reasonable limits based on drug potency and potential for harm. How much does that change racist law enforcement in America, really? I'd like to think that ending the drug war can do nothing but help. But sometimes I wonder,
the political climate is at a fever pitch.
If it really
and
would.
And the fight for the social fabric of America.
Would it really help? I think it's got to. I've got to hold out hope that it does help in the long term bring justice to our minority communities. That we can reach a place where indeed all lives matter and we're all treated equally under the law, but clearly we're not. I think the drug war has fueled that. As Michelle Alexander wrote, it's like the new Jim Crow. I just don't think it's the only solution. This one's going to be a tough nut to crack. All right, we'll come back with some final thoughts after these messages.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch, and the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the Cannabis Liberation Movement takes a huge step forward, and Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the Cannabis Crusade. Join us November 8th for Vote 2016, the path to cannabis freedom. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Just closing up shop here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon, with some final thoughts. And I've been thinking a lot about our marijuana election night coverage because, you know, the last four times I've done this, it's been you and me, right? Like, just me on the mic with cannabis carry, too, camped out at the election headquarters, wherever it was, wherever our studio was, or on the line from someplace voting on legalization. But it was, you know, it was our typical thing, right? It was just our tiny little podcast streaming across the voice over IP lines, bringing the news to a tight knit community of cannabis consumers who are kind of political nerds. Well, that's all changing because I'm with Cannabis Radio now. And I told them about my previous election coverage shows and how I get, you know, huge listenership on those shows of people tuning in, trying to find out which states have passed, which states haven't. And they took the ball and ran with it. Oh, my God. So, first of all, the big production is going to be down in Los Angeles because the production that requires enough labor that we can't do it in the Bay Area. So that's for one. It's like we got to go to L.A., you know, big superstar Hollywood town, right? Okay. And then two, there's going to be video component involved with this. So, you know, video feeds going out live. So now I've got to pay attention to how I look and make sure I'm not picking my fingernails or, you know, picking my teeth or, you know, looking off camera and all that kind of stuff. All right. So I got that coming up. All right. And then there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a producer involved, and we're going to be tied in with various other outlets, let's say. Well, I don't want to give too much away, but tied in with various other outlets and, of course, our live reporters in nine different states, so that there's going to be a board operator handling that, and then there's going to be a producer handling the connections, and that means I get to use an IFB. I was asked today, have you ever used an IFB? And I said, no, condoms usually. But no, what an IFB is apparently the earpiece that you wear on like TV news and stuff, where that's the producer can talk to you. And so like now I've got to have that skill of being able to continue saying what I'm saying
while someone else is talking in my ear that no one else can hear and coordinate all that. So this is becoming, and I'm trying to maintain composure here, and professionalism and all, but there's still that part of me that's just, you know, I'm just the guy who's running a podcast, you know, pot smoker trying to get the word out. Never intended to be network anchor. Oh my God. So this is going to be fun. We're going to have, I'm actually getting nervous for this. It's going to be exciting. And leading up to it, I'm renting a car and driving down to California for this because I'm stopping in Santa Cruz on the Sunday before the election to sit in and do a live Stony Sunday with Coral Reefer and reach out to all that young audience that she's got, get them out to the polls for Prop 64 in California. So we're going to do that bit of electioneering, and then from there get on down to LA and do our coverage. And the other great news I've got about our coverage, especially for the longtime OGs like Stone Kidney out there, is I reached out to my sister from another mister, the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie, to see if she would come out of her 1 year of radio retirement and 4 years of cannabis radio retirement to co-host the show with me. And she said yes. So we're working on getting all the arrangements handled to bring Cannabis Carrie down. And hell, if she's going, we may not need to rent a car because she's got a Prius. We'll just drive down in the Prius and do this coverage. But I will be welcoming, again, crossed fingers. We got to make sure. I can't guarantee this is the way it's going to happen, but this is the plan, and it looks like it's a go. Cannabis Carrie joining me for Marijuana Election Night 2016, coverage of 9 states, medical marijuana, legalization, and everything else in between. And I couldn't be more thrilled. Oh, it's going to be just like old times. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's coming Tuesday, November 8th, starting at my regular time, 3 p.m. Pacific. 3 p.m. was the hour. 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. 6 p.m. Eastern is the hour before the first polls close. There's polls that close at 7 p.m. Eastern in Florida and Maine, I believe, are the first poll closings. So we'll start from there. We'll start with an hour beforehand, and then each hour, as the time zones march across from east to west, each hour we've got another set of states where their polls are closing. And even 1 half hour, because like Arkansas is like on the half hour on its polls closed, like at 7:30 Central or something like that. So it's going to be the same kind of feel as the national election coverage when they cover the polls closing in the east and the central time zone and the mountain. Same for us. We're going to go from east to west covering these states as their polls close. And it's just going to be very exciting. So I hope you join us. We'll be on from 3 to 9 Pacific. That's 6 to midnight Eastern, or later if we have to bring you the latest breaking news. Also, we're going to, in addition to the 9 states, we're looking at bringing you as much coverage of as we can of the local votes in California, Oregon, and Colorado concerning marijuana. I haven't heard any in Washington yet to cover, but I'm sure there'll be some to cover. We've also got at least 4 elected or candidates running for office who are from our community. Carrie Boyer, Stephanie Viscovich, Cliff Duvall, and there was another who was given to me whose name escapes me off the top of my head. But we'll bring you their election results as well. It's all coming up Tuesday, November 8th, live here on CannabisRadio.com. That's all the time we got for today's show, though. Thanks for joining us. Time flies when you legalize. Be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for this election, including tomorrow's guests. We've got North Dakota with Ray Morgan and our Hump Day Update with Doug Fine. I'm Radical Russ from Portland, Oregon, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you're planning to.
you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.